The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
To do something. In fact, this will be one of the most important radio programs you will ever hear in your lifetime, because it validates what I and Yoichi Shimatsu have been telling you for over 3.5 years, that the Fukushima Daiichi calamity may well turn out to be, in the final analysis, a truly massive extinction event on this once magnificent but now tragic and troubled little planet. All you have to do is read the headlines at the top of Rents every day, latest Fukushima updates. Let me read them to you. There are 6. And if you look to the right column, you'll find all of them going back 3.5 years. Today, they read, "Proof, radiation is killing the Pacific." Dana Durnford and Terry Daniels, a video. It's right at the top. I would implore you to look at this video. It's 21 minutes long. Dana and Terry presented a 75-minute long video, and we edited it down so it's a little quicker hit for people. Attention spans and all that these days are not what they used to be. If you want to see the whole thing, you can certainly see it. But we have a 21-minute version that we've made. Steve Wilner, my producer, and I worked on it together and got it done. That's the top story. Look at the video. The second story, plutonium and hundreds of different radionuclides pour into the Pacific. When do they pour into the Pacific? 24/7 for over 3.5 years. TEPCO, the greatest liar on the planet, second only to Barack Hussein Obama, says about 400 metric tons of radioactive water, that's death, pours into the Pacific every day. We feel, Yoichi has said on many occasions, he feels it's at least 1,000 or 2,000 metric tons a day. They're lying and they're guessing. We don't know. Let's say it's 1,000. I think that's conservative. I think 2,000 is reasonable. For 3.5 years of liquid death pouring into the ocean. Remember the yachtsman, I just reran the story, sailed from Osaka to San Francisco. He had done it many times before because he was enthralled, overwhelmed with the life and the vitality of the ocean as he crossed it, just overwhelmed by the amazing numbers of animals and things. He made the trip and he saw over 4,000 nautical miles of essentially nothing. He saw two fish, one bird, and one whale with what appeared to be a large tumor on its head. He said, "The ocean is broken." Well, we're here to tell you tonight that the ocean is not broken. The ocean is probably already dead. And then you'll remember the ocean bottom survey. I think it was Woods Hole, I'm not sure, but it was off the coast of California. They do it regularly, and they survey the bottom to see what's down there. Normally, about 1% of the bottom of the Pacific Ocean in the test zone is covered with dead sea life. 1%. The last time they checked, which is well over a year ago now, it was 98%. Is that beginning to make sense? Another headline. Three Fukushima reactors melted through all containment. We've been telling you that too. TEPCO lies. Oh, it's still 28 kilometers from, or rather, centimeters from getting through the concrete. Lies. Speaking of kilometers, they found blown nuclear reactor fuel pellets, little particulates, little round items that have never been seen before, all over Honshu, including Tokyo. And you can assume that it's down to the nano size and it is circling the entire northern hemisphere. But the three reactors that have melted through all containment are down at least 75 to 80 feet. How do I know that? Because TEPCO admitted that they drilled a test well on the mountainside of the plant, and at 75 feet we're finding astonishing levels of tritium in the water, the groundwater. And now they've drilled one on the ocean side. I don't know the depth, but they're saying that the well is essentially full of plutonium. And what are they going to do? They have a nuclear power plant that is destroyed. It's built on fill material. They have a barrier wall up, which forces some of the water back up into the plant itself. The buildings are subsiding. Reactor building 4 has subsided 32 inches. On the north side. They're all going to fall in, slowly but surely, this muck that Fukushima Daiichi has now become. Not only are the buildings disintegrating, but they're slipping slowly down into the muck. So they're going to pump out these wells and try to stabilize the groundwater so the buildings don't essentially fall apart and go back into criticality, which is what will happen when the spent fuel pools hit the ground. And reactor fuel pool 4 could hit the ground at any time. Remember last week, TEPCO took a vacation, no work at all going on the site? Very encouraging. How many world conferences have you ever heard about with nuclear engineers, nuclear physicists, geologists, structural engineers, trying to come up with a way to stabilize the situation? The answer is none. How many conferences, news releases, have you heard the EPA release or hold? Zero. None. The bigger the lie, the bigger the silence. Okay? Nuclear expert, Fukushima fuel thought to be in ground now. Well, you can bet your ass it's in the ground, way down there. Radiation level 60 kilometers from Fukushima is now tested out and verified to be as high as the worst contaminated zones around Chernobyl. Okay, that brings us home. I could talk all night on this. You've heard much of it. I hope it sticks. Please pass the video around, made by Dana Durnford and Terry Daniels, who are my guests for the first 2 hours tonight. I met with a gentleman today who lives in the Seattle area. In fact, he lives right below the Juan de Fuca Strait, which brings tremendous amounts of water in and then out again. It's one of those like Bay of Fundy tides. And I told him about Dana and Terry's video, and he said, "Well, that's real funny because I live on a bay, I'm not going to mention the name of it. It's in the Seattle area. It's right below the Straits of Juan de Fuca. And he said, I used to walk out at low tide, and I was mind blown at the beauty and the diversity of the tide pools. I loved it. He said, I went out about a year and a half ago. He said, there's nothing left. It's all gone. I said, friend, you better look at the video. You'll understand why there's nothing left. And why the starfish all up and down the West Coast have been wiped out, virtually all of them. People have reported to me, in fact, this gentleman told me today, he said, I saw a starfish leg crawling along by itself about 2 years ago. It's time that we either wake up or stick our heads further in the sand or in one of those other places people commonly talk about and just go to sleep. There are things you can do to protect yourself. There is nothing you can do to force Fukushima to go back into its box. It's out. The genie is out of the bottle. The genie of death. The Grim Reaper is here. Cancer rates in Tokyo among children are skyrocketing, up 14 times over normal. They've already had increased infant death mortality here along the West Coast. Lots of people are getting cancer now that will not be connected to inhaling radioactive hot particles that hundreds of thousands or millions of people were doing within the first 3 weeks of the disaster as the radiation crossed the Pacific quickly on the winds, not even the jet stream. Doesn't matter. One final preface before I introduce Dana and Terry. The Kuroshio Current comes down and meets another current coming up from the south off the east coast of Japan, right in the area of Fukushima Daiichi. Those two currents meld together and head across the Pacific to the east. They're called the North Pacific Current at that time. Pull up a map of ocean currents in the Pacific Ocean and read. They come across the ocean at about 10 knots. Meanwhile, the rest of the ocean around the plant for 3.5 years has slowly been contaminated, like you put cream in coffee. Stir it up, see what happens. That's the Pacific Ocean. The current itself was first over here. It brought the radioactivity over, slamming in and around Vancouver Island, and sucked in and around the island by the Straits of Juan de Fuca. And we're going to find out, and if you haven't seen the video, prepare to be sickened. We're going to find out what that means. So first, let me say hello to Dana Durnford, who really narrated an extraordinary presentation made possible by his and Terry Daniels' trip up the Vancouver, British Columbia coast for a distance of approximately 200 kilometers, in which they visited location after location at low, low tide because of that supermoon. And they took picture after picture. Terry took God knows how many pictures. Dana Durnford, former professional diver, will have him tell us about his background. So with that, and hoping I've set the stage for you, let's say hello to Dana first. Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. You couldn't ask for any better than that. And you're right in what you're saying and what you've been doing all along. I just want to make sure everybody understands that 9 months ago or so, Jeff featured my first video when I actually snapped alert, and I was still in shock. It took a couple of months to get back up to speed, but you know, I was thinking about that today, Jeff. That boot out there that got us here today, didn't it? You know, it really did.
It did. Yeah.
We're going up the coastline, and we're saying, you know, my goodness, I can see Jeff Rince now going, holy, holy, you know, this is unimaginable. And sure enough, there's Jeff Rince, and you know, we're so pleased. Right? We feel like we got a hope to go do things, that we got a venue like yours to put it out on, that people can come and look for themselves and add it up and say, where is the other 5,500 species? And, you know, of course, the bigger fish are going to get affected later. It's the ones that are in the tidal pools was the signature we were looking for. And it was really shocking the first couple of days, but we couldn't find anything to take pictures of, and that's why that was so bizarre. we couldn't find anything, and it was just the same thing beach after beach. And altogether, I think we've seen 10 species. Now, there's supposed to be 5,600, and so it should seed itself, because that's what the ocean does. It's just a big soup of life. And if you went down again to the shoreline, plowed it all off, if there was life there, come back in 2 weeks, there'd be babies just everywhere, and stuff would crawl up and down lower. And the ocean doesn't do it for 200 kilometers. And I got reports, Jeff, all over the island coming in. And like your friend down there in Puget Sound, it's the same thing. We got reports from everywhere. It's the same thing. They're finding the same creatures, the same critters. And some people are mistaken that for life and coming out. And they're confused, obviously, right? But it's the same. It only validates what we say all along. It's the same creatures that we're seeing.
I remember your first video. I was elated that someone had gotten emotionally involved. You're already there intellectually, but you were enraged, and that rage was so important to me to see, and I put that up, and here we are, you and I, 9 months later.
Over and over, too. Yeah, you put me up repeatedly. I remember that. I do use your site for a long time, but I do remember that, and I was like, that is so cool. In the sense of some, that's where the people are coming from. That's where the views were coming from, pretty obvious to me. And that's there's a lot of good-natured people. My goodness, I was surprised how many nice people I met that way. That helped me come to terms with, we had to flush it out. And so it took us 9 months to flush it out. And then going out on the ocean and seeing it. I thought about you, it was fact, right? And I thought about Yoshi. And I said, man, my goodness, what are they going to think? And like everybody else, that's what we're doing. And again, just to keep everybody up to speed, we're going to go all the way up the coast. And there's nothing wrong with that for us to go up there and fly now. And we got high quality cameras now to redo everything with. We got 3 Geiger counters. We got all kinds of equipment. And so we'll be leaving quite shortly in another week or so. And we're just going to post it every day. And I guess we won't be around for the debate so much. But we're frightened that as we go up the coastline, it's going to continue. And we don't have any doubts about this, but it's just shocking. 26,000 islands. It would take you 71 years to visit every one of those islands if you visit one a day, right? It's amazing. So we're going to cut through that.
Yeah.
And then again, we're going to go up to the Northwest Passage, too. We're going to continue all the way up and see if it's coming down the back door. And ain't that something to say? And because we have to know. And that's why everybody, I think, including yourself, of course, as you demonstrated day after day after day, you got to know, and you have to know, and you have to make sure everybody else has an ability to know, and that you're entitled to know.
They are, you just said the key word. We have a God-given right to know this. No government's going to take that away. Now, there are some very brilliant people who literally, truly are in denial. They can't accept it. That's okay. But there are too many scientists who know damn well what's going on and are too cowardly, far too cowardly, to say anything about it. Every time I see a story where they say, mystery disease killing starfish, or mystery disease hampering herring, the halibut, the seals, the polar bears, mystery disease.
Everything. That's brilliant. No, that's what they're doing to you, right? And you put your headlines up and mock them too about it, right? It's always a mystery. But nobody wants to say the word, as we know from your side, nobody wants to say the word radiation, you know? Nobody wants to say it. And that's because there's 2 million industries dependent upon that. And 2 million people are going to have companies and corporations and are going to look their children in the eye and say, no, we didn't kill the ocean. And the children say, yes, you did. They can't face that. They just can't face it, but they can't avoid it. How can you avoid it? They can take me and you out of the equation, but they still can't avoid the fact that we never found no insects on the coastline outside of a cupful. At best, they even found that much. I'm not sure we did in 200 kilometers.
That's shocking. And here it is, August.
Yeah, even on the highway. Yeah.
When you said that, I just said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Even the insects now. All the things that feed on the carrion along the ocean, the leftovers, the dead things. None left.
Not on the headlights, not on the grill.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we go out and turn on our headlight, and we go out and turn on our nightlight each night and try to count them, and you're seeing 10, 15, or 20. It used to be if you opened the door alongside that light, you were crucified in the house because they'd all come flooding in. So you never always use the other door, see? Now I open that door and count them. I've never seen that before. And, of course, on the highway, we don't know. I go up and down the highway for months here looking for bees. I can't find one. That's a lie. I found one. And I found a butterfly. That's pretty exciting, I guess, because I didn't find anything.
Isn't that sick?
Gallows laugh, right? But I didn't find anything else.
You see a butterfly now, and it's. I saw one the other day. I don't see many down here, and I said, "Oh my God, a beautiful butterfly!" And I watched it. They're all going, folks. They're going.
I'm hand feeding the spiders here in the corner now, trying to keep them alive, but it's flying. It's ridiculous, and that people are. I don't think people are attacking us so much as just the ninian kind of routine that they don't know any better. But I don't see any credible attacks against me. I would so love that. I know that sounds bizarre, but I would love to have something to come out and go have a decent debate with. And that's not going to happen, obviously, because we don't have that. I always had this fable, oh, I seen a bird, or I seen a seagull, or I seen a caterpillar. And I never said they're all missing on the beaches. I never said the beach is missing. I just said all the species in the tidal pools were missing. And that the ones that were left were so few and so far between that every beach had the same species, but nothing extra. And we're expecting maybe 100 species, if we're lucky, to get samples from in 26,000 islands over 60 days. I don't even know what to say. Only that we got to do the job so people can have a debate. Because if not, everybody's going to live in denial. And you know that. You've been fighting it nonstop 3.5 years. And Yoshi, you guys don't miss nothing. And here we are at this point where we're almost free out the gate. We'll go pick up the boat and the motor in a couple of days, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a 22-foot Zodiac and a 115 on the back of it. That's good for any ocean. So we feel quite confident we can get the best. And we got high-quality equipment. We'll be taking samples. We'll be posting those samples right away. We'll be sending them out to labs. We got a bunch of institutions also want samples, so we'll be sending them samples too, but we'll have independent samples for everybody. And the idea is everything's got GPS, and we're going to take enough pictures so nobody can mistake a beach. Everything's uploaded as quick as we can get access. We'll have mobile, we'll have satellite phones, and they'll be used to upload it rather than talking first and then talking after conversations. And then the point is that, you know, all that stuff that you've got done, all that knowledge that you now gained, and all that common sense that you always are putting forward, right? As people go back through your material looking for more and more and more, and they will, that should be some comfort for, I think, for the future, is that we have already done a lot of work, like yourself and other
people.
Well,
I think it's wonderful that people have donated the kind of equipment that you'll be able to go back with, and that is encouraging. Yoshi sent me an email, and he said, please send my best possible regards to Dana and to Terry for the work that they've done. Wish them well on their next trip. He's got to go back across the ocean to take care of business. He wanted to come up. He said, next time I come back, I'll be hopefully coming through Vancouver, and I'll see them then. The music means we have to take a break. We'll do that and come right back. Special guests this hour, Dana Durnford and Terry Daniels will be right back. Talking with Dana and Terry. Let's bring Terry on here for a couple minutes, Dana. And
okay, here we go. I'll give him the phone. He'll listen.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Terry. Terry Daniels on the line now with us. Terry and Dana made the 200-kilometer trip, and Terry did all the photography. Dana is in a wheelchair. He had to get down and climb around the rocks and slip, and I guess he hurt his ankle at one point. But that that 9 days was really, I think, 9 days that may have changed the world in some very important ways, Terry. And I want to commend you for your efforts. And it's just remarkable to see what you captured.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that a lot.
You're welcome. Well, you've
got a lot of good stuff too, buddy.
Well, thank you. Without guys like you, though, I'd sit here at this desk until the cows came home or didn't come home. You've got new equipment, I guess. You're going to go up and you got new cameras?
Yes, we have. We got some pretty good stuff now. Yeah, we're going to go do it right this time.
Well, you did it right the first time, but it'll be great to have high def pictures and all. When you went up there, why did you do this? You pulled money out of your pocket to make most of this happen. Why did you do it?
Just wanted to know, I guess. That's about it. Listening to Dana all this time, filling me in on the truth about things, and I just need to know for myself and everybody else. Everybody has a right to know.
That's what we said earlier. We're born on this planet, and we're supposed to be given certain inalienable rights and God-given rights and just general rights of being human that those in power want to take from us.
They have no right to do that.
No, they don't. They're not human. They're criminal. They're beyond criminal. I don't want to go into that. I don't think the planet needs them. I wish they would all be frankly removed. That's just the way it is. When you went up there and began to see what you saw, what did you feel?
Didn't feel good. It was nothing really good to feel, except I was quite scared. It was starting to terrify me after I went up.
That's a very interesting word, scared. And you're a tough guy, grown man. And when you see something, that it must have looked like it was out of a science fiction movie. It's just not the way it's supposed to be.
Sure isn't. Nope. Things aren't right. Has to be fixed or attempted to be fixed. Something isn't right.
I'm afraid that it's not fixable, not from the source. They tried their great Fukushima ice wall, which was a joke. They actually last week announced that they had given up on it. It was a bust. We predicted that from the beginning. Would never work. There's no way it's going to be stopped. They have created the ultimate death machine. And those three cores called corium are now down 75, 85, who knows, 100 feet, 50 feet. It doesn't matter. As the water pours through from the mountains, it's becoming totally laced with radioactive death. And people, Terry, don't remember that they, TEPCO, are pouring water in around the clock into the spent fuel pools and into what's left of the blown reactors to try to keep the heat down. So all that water has to go somewhere too. And this BS about putting it in tanks is despicable. Those tanks are already rusting. They have a 5-year life and they've been around 3 years now, some of them. They're already rusting and leaking. There's nothing they're going to do with that water that's in those tanks anyway, because it's only got one place to go, and that's in the ocean. The amount of water that they would have to store if they were going to do it right would dwarf those tanks. It would be an enormous array of tanks going for miles and miles and miles. That's not going to happen. Okay, so you're up along the coast. Did you talk to many locals?
Talked to a couple, yes. And actually, the one person Dana had talking to, they weren't finding much either. They didn't really took notice until Dana mentioned it to them.
Oh, really?
They realized, and they were going out that day to see further, but we didn't run into them again. We had moved on.
Yeah.
What the results were. But I'm sure
isn't that interesting? Here people live along the beach, and they see this all the time, and they actually don't notice.
It's not there.
It's gone. And it's been gone for some time. What was pointed out in the video was that, I've forgotten what Dana called, I think he called them crumbs. Only a few crumbs left. That's it.
And that's all there is, yeah. That's all there is crumbs.
When the North Pacific Current, I don't want to say splits because that implies a 50-50 split. when it divides and part of it goes up into the Gulf of Alaska and literally goes round and around like a flushed toilet with no exit, it only concentrates. The fishermen up there need to be commended. And any of you listening up there now who were involved with this, you're also doing your part. The fishermen demanded to have the salmon tested. You remember this. And the salmon test came back not good. In fact, 80% of the salmon did not return to spawn last year. And the baby salmon that did hatch this year in the streams from whence their parents came, swam down the stream, out into the ocean, and have been reportedly seen dead by the tens of thousands floating on the surface.
It's not a good thing.
Oh. We're losing our planet. We're losing our planet. And people who think this is going to stay confined to the Pacific Ocean better think again. It's going to migrate inland. It already is. We're seeing it. All up and down California, we had reports from UC Berkeley for the first year or year and a half, and then they were told to shut up because their graphs kept going up, up, more radiation, more radioactivity measured in the topsoil, in the groundwater, in the vegetables, in the flora and fauna. Everywhere they looked, they found increases in irradiation. That's migration from the ocean and the weather systems. And one last thing I'll say, Terry, is that we, as you know, are watching California in a death drought. Something shut off all the rain systems to California and the West. A little got into the North, but not that much. And I think the government made a decision. What are we going to do? Let the radiation come in? Or do we shut the rains off? I think they shut the rains off. They erected that high-pressure ridge 1,500 miles off the coast of California and Oregon, and every single rain system that came out of the Kamchatka area and across the North Pacific slammed into it and was broken into pieces. I watched it on the satellites. You probably did too. Okay, we're going to take a break. Terry, thank you. Hang on. Put Dana back on, and we'll continue in just a couple minutes. Thank you, Terry.
Okay, you take care, Jeff.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and we're back talking with Dana and Terry. All right, Dana, when you went up along the coast, 200 kilometers, that's a long way. It's impossible to say you had too short of a sample area. It just doesn't work. This is an irrefutable issue. Tell our listeners about your background as a diver and how well you know this area.
Sure, thanks, Jeff. Well, like you say, I spent my whole life on the ocean. Now it's on both oceans. I grew up on the Atlantic Ocean, and I was throwing 3,000 hooks off the back of a boat every day when I was 13 years old on the North Atlantic Ocean at around 4 o'clock in the morning. And you would work till 8 o'clock that night, crawl into bed, and get up and do it the next day.
That's called hard work.
And wow. That's hard work for 11 years. And Dad died on the ocean, and we kept fishing for another year in the fishery to close it down to put a moratorium on it. We had 30,000 hooks, 120 gill nets, one painter left on the boat. And so the industry was finished. Now, they never stopped the international fleet from coming in. What they done was they gave quotas away to the international fleet for an auto pack in Montreal and Ontario because they don't have any natural industry. That's what it seems like when we look back on it all. And so you can get cheap labor in Asia and everywhere else for 25 cents an hour. So why would they pay the Canadians such huge wages and pensions and unions and everything else? Nothing made sense outside of the fact that they gave it all away and they only had one boat protecting the coastline. So I came out to, I was headed off to New Zealand because they were revamping the industry of 450,000 people. I was going to go try to take over New Zealand. And I really was. And just fishery-wise. Mm-hmm. And introduce a whole bunch of new type of fishery.
Yeah.
And so I ended up in British Columbia. And British Columbia, there was nowhere I went I wouldn't want to build a house and live for the rest of my life. And I lived that every single day. And I also eat halibut every day for the first 3 years, with no matter if I had steaks or, you know, lobster, didn't matter. I still had a piece of halibut with it because it was a halibut nut. And so we dove the whole coastline year after year. And then eventually, you know, we look back on, we know every species in the tidal pools and the zones where you try to get into your speedboat and you just slip and slide on the shoreline. It was impossible. And you try to get into the shoreline, it's covered with kelp forest. And so I'm so used to that. And what I had a company called Marine Channel Productions Limited. Mm-hmm. What we were going to do is put 100 cameras in the ocean. And everybody would ask me where. And I was like, well, it doesn't matter. We can just drop something in the ocean and create an artificial reef because the ocean is a seat of life, a soup of life, and it will seed that for us. If that's where we can get an internet connection. That was like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the University of Victoria in British Columbia got $300 million grant for my business plan. And their business, part of my business plan was 3,000 miles of fiber optic cable. And so I didn't give up my hope. They didn't do the same thing, but they got all the money, took all the glory away, and they...
$300 million. Wow.
Yeah, at the university. And they all got accolades, and I called them all up. I emailed them all. I contacted Discovery Channel when I seen them doing it. I was like, what are you guys doing this? In the Georgia Strait, the Hacker Strait, this whole area was where I was going to put the fiber optic.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to put 3,000 miles of it. That was my business plan. Here was the Discovery Channel on board a boat putting out 3,000 miles of fiber optic cable right on the same route as my business plan. So that was okay. I was going to do it because and that was early in the game. And so I knew how much life was there. No matter where I went, we can create, we can bring life from the shorelines to go grab rocks at low tide and mm-hmm. marine life and different genetic superior life from different areas and bring it and create an artificial area close to an internet connection and feed that out over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what ended up happening was there's nothing there. We went out and everything was gone. And the utter shock, the utter horror of it, I couldn't tell the guys the first day, you know, for 3 hours, all I was doing, hoping. We went on purpose, though. That was on purpose. We made it go at the low tide. I wanted to see life, see? And it wasn't there. It was shocking. And so each day after that, we decided we weren't going to miss a tide. We're going to catch every tide. And we're going to cover at least 200 kilometers before we open them out to anybody. And we were truly horrified. And I mean, we were scared. And we still are. We get an amazing amount of serious, unimaginable death threats. It's like really something else.
You're getting death threats.
With their own phones. Yeah, they're doing it to their own phones, so they're not worried.
Hmm.
And I was, next time I get out, I almost went to the police station the other day when I was in town. I forgot about it. Because I'm trying to get everything, get back and talk to people. Because we're trying to push it out there. And that's why we've done the way we've done it, right? And I'm still not going to walk away from that. I mentioned that their telephone numbers in the message on the radio show the other night. Just to put it out there that I'm not taking it. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it, but, you know, I'm not stopping. If they take me out, then everybody else will go down to the low tide line, is how I see it. And they're done anyway. It's going to be a lot worse than having people like ourselves, like you, who actually knows how to go about looking at this properly instead of coming at it with a knee-jerk reaction. You're not capable of that. All you got is logic. I hear you and Yoshi. Right? You guys are pure logic. And that's the point of it. They'll come out with a sad song and crying, and it's all gone routine, and we'll have chaos following that. And so that's the one thing where we were trying to figure out what was going on here is they need to roll it out because they really do want to look their children in the eye in their future, and they're not going to be able to if it comes out the hard way, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so that's what we're going to do is we figure, that's what we're hoping anyway, is an opportunity for everybody over 60 days to kind of drop their shoulders, drop the posturing, drop that war machine, and that we're all in this together. There's no way out for anybody. You know, I you'll like this one, Jeff. I'm sure you'll get a good laugh at this. We worked out what we're going to do with the elites if they go down into their bunkers.
Uh-huh.
We got an old trick we do where I come from, where I'm sure you've seen it anyway. Where you want to get a stump out of your yard, you put propane under it, and then you drop a firecracker or something, and it'll pop the stump right out of the water, out of the ground. The stump will pop right up, land on the ground, And you go around with a chainsaw and knock the edges off it. But we can do that with the bunkers if we've got to. We'll pop them right out of the ground if we don't get our own way and have a future, right?
They don't really give a damn about us. They don't.
I know, yeah.
And
but they're going to have to because we can come get them, see? That's how I see it.
Those bunkers are all suffering from one weakness. They have to have pipes up to the surface. All right?
We'll drown them.
Yeah.
Poor gas down there. They're coming out of there. I don't care. If they're going to do the whole planet and 8.8 million species in, they ain't going to get to hang around and see what happens next. That's for sure. The whole planet will come after them. I bet you that if they close it the wrong way, the planet will dig them out with shovels. You know?
I wouldn't be surprised. No.
Yeah,
no, have done here is unspeakable, unforgivable, unimaginable. So where were we 4 years ago, folks? We had a planet that was suffering. We had a planet that was at war. We had a planet that was being run by megalomaniacs and idiots. And now we have a planet that's dying. All right? It's changed. It's all over. But for the average person who can push their TV remote and see the ball game, it looks normal. So getting those people aware to a point of being alert is very difficult. We don't control the media. We have the internet. We have an opportunity. And I don't know how many views your video has gotten or the shorter one's gotten, but we're going to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it to make sure as many people as humanly possible that I can control and you can control will look at it, at least for 5 minutes. Look at it, folks. Pass it around. This is proof.
Yeah, it has to be done.
Now, you're going. You did 200 kilometers the first time. What's your projected approximate geographical distance this time?
Oh, well, you'll get a laugh out of this one because we're ambitious. We figure we're going to cover at least 4,000 kilometers. We're going to take the outside of Vancouver Island.
Are you going on the outside? Okay.
We're going to do the whole outside before the weather breaks. And then we're going to come down the inside passage and go back up again on the coastline itself. Because once again, there's 26,000 islands. So we're going to cruise through about 10,000 of those islands. And we're going to get as many samples as humanly possible. We really, truly are going to collect everything dead we find and bag it and dry it out. And we're going to do everything we can to give everybody all the data. And so that we can have that debate that you've been pushing for nonstop every day. Every day on the first of your page, you're pushing. You never relent. You're always on top of it. And that's the only way it's ever going to happen. And this is the one, right? This is the one that changes. It either makes us or breaks us. With less than 1% of the species in the tide pool, there's no more time to play games with anybody.
No.
And they're going to realize the same as you already know, right? Yeah. And
less
what we're
going
to do,
left.
I think, is do what we... Like, you got all kinds of sections on organic and cancer cures that are perfectly researched. Like, turmeric got 600 peer-reviewed academic studies on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that up on your site. I don't know how many times different studies that you find. You're like, wow, this is mad. Another one on stuff like that.
Yeah.
And pharmaceutical, as you constantly tell everybody every day, every chance you get, is not natural to the human body. And you can't. I mean, you back it up all the time with the links, right? I'm only talking. But that's what I mean with these people like you. If they come there and they read that stuff, I think that'll give them comfort. I think that'll give them the hope.
Well, and that's the idea.
The fact that you're not naive, see?
Yeah. We're trying to educate, trying to give people the knowledge that, you see, knowledge is the most powerful commodity on the planet. And the controllers, they let it out and they reel it back in. They let it out. Right now, they're pulling it in as tightly as they can. And they're creating artificial knowledge to fill the gap. They're filling the minds of our younger generations with garbage. And that's garbage in, garbage out. That's the old axiom, and it's true. I worry about our younger people. There are some really good ones, very alert, that know things are not right. But the masses have never been dumber. And that's the truth, and that's sad for all of us. All of us as a species. We're creating a two-tiered lower class. The middle class in our country, as in yours, is in decline. It'll be pretty well gone here in the next couple of years. But that's the game. And when you control the banks the politicians, the media, the petroleum, the energy. You control it all. And we are up against evil that cannot adequately be assayed and measured. It is over the top. Hold on, we'll be back in just a couple more minutes. We've got another hour to go, and we will continue.